Before I start, I have to give honor where honor is due. Pastor Mrs. Hagen, thank you so much for this opportunity. I do not take it lightly to be here speaking with you all today. I will say I'm so glad that all my kids are in here today. Where are my kids at? Oh, come on, you guys are louder than that. Where are my kids at? There we go. So I'm so glad to be here today. Before I get started, I want to talk about that song for a second. I know it might seem odd. You know, you might be thinking to yourself, well, kids don't have a whole bunch to take back from the devil yet, right? They haven't had a whole bunch stolen. You know, they're not like us. They haven't been through tons of trials and tribulations. But here's the deal. The devil's after our kids, okay? He's after our kids. He's after their childhood. He's after their innocence. He's coming at their identity left and right. And he's coming at their purpose. So I wanted these kids to know, hey, we've got the power. We don't have to put up with the devil's attacks. We are stronger than him, and we're going to put him in his place. So we sang this song every night at camp meeting before service, to kind of kick service off. And it was so much fun because the kids just got into it. And I truly believe that those words got into their heart. That they don't have to worry about what the devil does or how he tries to attack them. They've got the power on the inside of them, right? And you know, the kids and youth are so important in this day and time. In Joel 2:28, this isn't going to be on the screen because it's the Voice translation. It's my favorite translation in this. It's Joel 2:28 says, "Then in those days, I will pour out my spirit to all humanity. Your children will boldly and prophetically speak the word of God. Your elders will dream dreams. Your young warriors will see visions. No one will be left out. In those days, I will offer my spirit to all my servants, both male and female." But notice, he talked about kids right at the beginning, that they will boldly and prophetically speak the word of God. Well, guess what? If they're born again, they've got the spirit of God living on the inside of them, and they're ready to go at whatever attack the enemy has. I want them to know they do not have to cower back. They don't have to run and hide, that they have the power on the inside of them, right? Come on. They've got the power on the inside of them to stand up to those attacks, to call out sin, right? To call it out for what it is. They don't have to put up with it. So about 2 years ago, when I was praying for Rhema Kids, just praying the direction that I was supposed to go for that upcoming year. I was just praying. I was unloading dishes. How many moms understand that? It's funny how you go to clean or do dishes and the kids disappear. It's great. It's a great, turns into a great prayer time. Well, I was just praying and all of a sudden I just started praying. The Holy Spirit just kind of fell in my kitchen. And I was just praying and praying. I could tell I wasn't just praying. I was interceding for these kids. And while I was praying, the Holy Spirit dropped into my heart, "Teach them to hear my voice." And not only teach them to hear my voice, but he said, "Even the little ones, because in these last days, it will be imperative for them to know my voice." And imperative was the closest word that I could find in the English language, because when he put this in my heart, there was just this weight, this heaviness on me. Not that it was just important that they heard his voice and that they knew his voice, but that if they didn't, it was going to mean life or death. And it was so, I mean, I sat in my kitchen just crying, going, "Lord, show me how to teach them. Show me the ways to teach them, and I will, because they need to know your voice." And so today, that's what we're talking about. I've been weaving that into all my messages almost always up in kids' church. But today I just really felt a couple months ago when Pastor Denise asked me to speak to this morning, almost instantly I knew we're talking about voices. And we're talking about how to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because I don't know about you guys, but for me anyways, this world has gotten noisy. I mean, I'm sure anybody that's older, my age and older, you sit sometimes and you're like, wow, I don't remember it being this noisy when I was a kid. I don't remember there being so many distractions, so many things, right? So that means it's all the more important for our kids to hear their voice, for us to hear the voice of God, right? But then also how to, because we have to discern through all these voices in our heads. But you know, the great thing is that even though the world is getting louder and noisier and the enemy is throwing all these different distractions and attacks our way, we all have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, right? We all have the Holy Spirit living big on the inside of us, and he is ever ready to help us, to lead us, to guide us. So let's just pray real quick before we dig in. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this service, Lord. I thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit just giving me utterance to speak, Lord. I thank you that every word that comes out of my mouth was not my own, Father, but yours. And I just thank you for ears open to hear, hearts ready to receive, and we just thank you for it. In your mighty name we pray, amen. So since we're talking about discerning the voice of the Holy Spirit, my title for today is That You, God? Because sometimes it's kind of hard to know, right? We're going to take just a few minutes talking about how we get to learn the voice of the Spirit, whether it's your first time hearing it, if you're one of my littles, or maybe it's just a reminder. I don't know about you guys, but I need reminders from time to time, because I don't know about you, but I'm an overthinker, so I love to overcomplicate everything. You know, I love to overthink everything when really it's not that hard, right? It's so simple. So let's dive in. Point number one, you have to spend time with him. You have to spend time in the word. How do you get to know someone? You have to spend time with them, right? I don't know you if I've never met you. I don't know you if I've never talked to you. But how many of you in here, if your mom or your dad or your child, son, daughter, brother, best friend, even in a noisy room, if they started yelling your name, 9 times out of 10, you're gonna hear them, right? Because you know their voice. I don't know about you, but I hear phantom moms all the time. As I'm like walking through Walmart, all of a sudden I'm like, Mom, wait, my kids aren't with me. No, right? But that's the way it is. How many of you have ever been in a busy place and all of a sudden a friend or parent or child has yelled your name? And you've heard them, even though it's noisy, because you've spent time with them, right? You've gotten to know their voice. So when they say it, when they say something to you, you don't miss it. You hear it right away. You're like, oh, I know that voice. That's how we need to get with the Lord, right? But to get there, we have to spend time with him. He's there regardless. But if we're not spending time, if we're not reading and meditating on the word, if we're not spending time praying, both in English and in tongues, worshiping, we're not gonna know his voice. And I don't know about you guys, but I wanna know his voice quickly, right? I don't wanna have to think about it. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I know them and they follow me. I showed a video to the kids a while back. I didn't show it in here because the quality of it's not that great and it's kind of embarrassing. But it was a cool video. It was somewhere in the UK where there was all kinds of sheep in a pasture grazing. And they had a group of college tourists that were there. And each tourist took a turn coming up to the fence and doing their, you know, probably some sort of like a food call or something. They all made the same noise or call words, whatever they were, all in the same tone, and yet not a single one of those sheep even lifted their head. Didn't even look to see what was going on. Were completely unbothered. But when their shepherd came up to the fence and did the exact same thing, he didn't say it louder, he didn't say it differently, every single sheep almost simultaneously put their head up and started coming to the fence. And I showed that to the kids because I wanted them to see that's how we need to be with Jesus, right? That's how we need to be with the voice of the Holy Spirit. So that when all these other voices are telling us what to do, where to go, how to be, how to act, whatever it might be, that we're not even moved by those voices because we know the voice of our shepherd. We know the voice of the Spirit. You know, there's so many voices around us. Not all of them are bad, right? It can be parents, friends, teachers, coaches, social media. It can be the enemy playing with your head. Shoot, it can be the random person at Walmart trying to give you their life story, right? There's so many voices, and not all those are bad voices. But when we need to hear the Holy Spirit, we need to be able to filter out all those voices and be like those sheep grazing on the hillside that were not fazed by the other voices they heard, but immediately came when they heard the voice of the shepherd, right? How many of you want to be like that? I know I do. You know, one thing that I have always done is I've always written down everything that I think the Lord is telling me. I love writing to begin with, and it's something that I started when I was probably in middle school, was I wrote down, not on my device, but pen and paper, right? Pen and paper, I wrote down what I thought the Lord was saying to me. Now, maybe not all of it was Him, but a lot of it was. And a lot of it I can go back and look at, and I'm like, oh my goodness, He spoke that to me 5 years ago. And now it's coming to pass, or whatever it might be. Or you know what? He spoke that to me, and because I obeyed, I watched this happen, and I didn't have to go through it. So I encourage you, kids, adults, if you don't already, get a journal. Get a pen and paper, not your device. There are so many studies that have shown that writing it down with your hands is so much better, and there's so much more brain connectivity. Okay, so make sure you're writing it down. And write down what you think the Holy Spirit is telling you. Because another way that we get to hear His voice is we have to practice. We have to practice it, right? Just like you're training for a football game or anything. They don't just walk out on that field the first day to play the game. They practice. It's no different when we're learning to hear the voice of the Spirit. We have to practice. So take time to, you know, read your Bible and then sit in quiet. It's really uncomfortable sometimes because this world is super noisy. And it can be kind of awkward sometimes to just sit in silence or turn some instrumental music on and just sit in the quiet. But I promise you, when you do, He will answer, right? James 4:8 in the NLT says, "Come close to God and He will come close to you." So when we take the time, when we're intentional about turning off all the other noise and just sit in His presence, start at 2 minutes, whatever you have to do. Start small and just sit and say, okay, Lord, I'm here. I want to hear Your voice. What do You want to tell me today? And just sit there and let Him speak to your heart. And the more you practice, the easier it becomes, and the more familiar you get with His voice, so that when we do get out in the wild, out of our bedroom, right, we'll recognize His voice right away. Which leads me to my second point, which is obey the first time, which is so hard sometimes. I know we've all been there. I mean, I don't know about you, but I know I've missed it, right? We've all missed it from time to time, and that's part of learning. Right? Part of learning is you miss it, correct? I mean, it's part of life, right? You sit there, you hear something, you go, wait, was that me? Or was that the Holy Spirit? Listen, I'll tell myself for a minute because I know you don't want me talking about you. So I had bought a really, really sweet, bright white Nikes before camp meeting a couple years. Solid white, gorgeous. I saved them for camp meeting. I didn't wear them. Had a beautiful like baby pink swoosh on the side. They're amazing. Well, naturally, as I was leaving the house, you know, I have all my children with me. We're trying to get stuff done before service, so it gets a little crazy sometimes. And I hear this little, you should grab Band-Aids. And I'm like, Band-Aids? What do I need Band-Aids for? I'm like, it's 3 hours. I'm fine. Like, no big deal. I don't need the Band-Aids. I was already, like, getting into my car, so I would have had to get out of my car, go back in the house, you know, all the things. And I ignored the voice of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. And I got to church that night, started my message, my lesson, and realized when I looked down that on all of my ankles, both sides, I was bleeding profusely. Because I'd never wore the shoes before. Hadn't even broke them in. My bright, white, beautiful Nikes now were blood-stained because I didn't obey the Holy Spirit. And of course, I saw it and I went, oh, Lord, forgive me. That was You. You tried to warn me. You told me to put Band-Aids on, and I ignored You. So I repented and moved on. And by his grace, he allowed me to get the blood out of the shoes. Hallelujah. He showed mercy on me and helped me get the blood out of the shoes. Another little funny one is that we used to use liquid laundry detergent. Well, I have four kids, so I would always buy the ginormous plastic bottles of liquid laundry detergent, right? I mean, it was super heavy. I don't know, it was 2 gallons or something probably. And I was just stayed up on a shelf. Well, one day I'm in the kitchen and I hear a crash. And I'm like, no, my kids, I think, were actually outside. So I'm trying to figure out where the crash came from. And finally, I go to the laundry room to check in there, and it has fallen off the shelf, hit my washing machine, and busted wide open on my floor. And I was like, well, praise the Lord. Laundry detergent's expensive. And then now I had to clean up. Now, granted, my laundry room smelled great for a couple weeks. I will tell you that. Smelled amazing in there. But I am very type A, okay? So things like this that throw my schedule off, I'm working on it, okay? I'm like a recovering perfectionist here. It just kind of drives me up the wall, right? So replaced the laundry detergent, bought a new one, yada, yada. About 4 days later, maybe a week, I was in my kitchen doing dishes again, and I get this inside, not even a voice, just this feeling like, you need to go to your laundry room. And I'm like, okay, as soon as I get done washing this dish, I'll do it. And the feeling got so strong that I could not ignore it. I'm like, okay, fine. Rubber gloves and all. I just took off from my kitchen to my laundry room. And when I did, I all but had to catch the second bottle of laundry detergent. So he saved me from having to go through that again. I'm so thankful the Holy Spirit cares about little things too, okay? He doesn't just care about the big things. But my point is I responded. I obeyed that time, right? And for the record, we do use pods now. I do not do liquid anymore. Just saying, for the record, not doing that anymore. But had I not obeyed, had I just ignored it and said, no, let me finish these two dishes, then I'll go, I would have had another mess on my hands. So I know those aren't big things, right? But I am a teacher at heart. So in all those kind of things, I'm looking for the teachable moments. And I truly believe that even those little things, he's trying to teach us. He's making us practice hearing his voice so that when it is something big, we don't question it. We just go, yes, got it, done, whatever it may be. You know, it might just be, don't go that way to work. Take a different road. Don't go down that hallway. Or it might be, leave right now. You never know. But I believe that all those little things that he's using those to teach us how to hear his voice so that when it is important, we'll catch it, right? You know, as parents, we want our kids to obey the first time. Why? Are we slave drivers? Maybe. No, just kidding. We're not slave drivers. But we want them to obey because I want to know that if they are in danger and I say, hey, guys, stop, they will stop immediately. Right? I don't want them to go, oh, should I? Should I not? The Holy Spirit's the same way. When he gives a command, it's not optional. He wants us to obey immediately. And the more we do that in the little things, when there's a big thing, it's going to be easy to obey. My story on that, we're getting ready to have Lila, our third child, and we had been doing some last minute shopping. It was about 3 weeks before she was supposed to be born. And I had a non-stress test scheduled that afternoon because she only had some issues with her umbilical cord. She was perfectly fine, but they were watching her very closely as she got larger to make sure that she didn't stop growing. And my appointment was at like 4:30, and then I was going to go to work afterwards. Well, they called me saying, hey, you are actually our last appointment for the day. Would you come in earlier, if it's possible? Would you come in earlier so that, you know, they wanted to go home. That's really what it was, right? They wanted to go home. They didn't want to have to wait for me to come in. Well, they left the voicemail because I didn't hear the phone. And when I listened to the voicemail, at first I was like, well, maybe not. Like, I kind of wanted to miss work for a little bit. A couple hours less of work doesn't sound so bad. But then all of a sudden, I just got this feeling like, no, go now. So I called them back, and I said, well, can I come now? And this is about 2:30. And they said, yes, come now. So I went now. Long story short, it saved her life. Had we waited 2 more hours, or had I gone at my normal time, my OB was pretty convinced that she would have died. So I believe that my obedience to go now, and even, listen, I believe the Holy Spirit used those doctors and nurses. He prompted them to call me, right? But I obeyed the first time. Had I said, no, I'm going to stick with my 4:30. I got some other stuff going on. Can't make it happen. She might not be here with us today. So it's so important to obey the first time. And I'm sure many of you have similar stories from something or another where he has saved you, right? Saved one of your kids, friends, whatever it might be, because we obeyed the first time. But here's the catch. I don't know about you guys, but when I have missed it, I can look back and it's usually because I'm rushed, I'm in a hurry, I'm not really keeping my eyes in the right place. So point number three is don't be distracted, which is so hard in this world, right? There are so many distractions, and it's not a mistake. The devil knows that a distracted Christian is a weak Christian, because he knows if he can get us distracted, then he can keep us from fulfilling the plan of God for our lives, right? And listen, distractions come in so many ways, so many different forms. It can be, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but my phone. Listen, sometimes I wish that, like, phones would just crash and we didn't even have them. Because even myself, I'm guilty of times when you're just sitting with a family and just muscle memory, I pick up my phone. Well, why? It didn't go off. There's no need for me to look at it, right? I'm sure many of you have looked at your phones even this morning in church. Not because you're bored, hopefully, but because it's just, it's muscle memory, right? A lot of us just look at our phone and what do? We hit social media. We hit our messages, whatever it might be, just out of habit. And we stay in a mode almost of being distracted, right? It can be good things too. It can be music. It can be schoolwork. It can be sports. It can be to-do lists. I'm guilty of that one, of thinking like I can't do anything until my to-do list is completed. It's just the way it goes. And, you know, not great, but we're getting there. But you know, not all these things are necessarily bad inherently, but the enemy's using them. He's slowly desensitizing us to where we think we have to be doing something all the time so he can keep us distracted. It's his plan. He wants us to think we are so busy that we don't have time to spend time in the Word. We don't have time to pray. We don't have time to go to church because, hey, there's sports practice that night. Just saying. He wants to keep us distracted. You know, it used to be that toddlers were like the hardest group to keep quiet and entertained. I actually beg to differ on that now. I think adults are worse. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, we have all become so distracted. We're always thinking about what do we got to do on Monday? What's our email saying? I got another email. I probably should check it. Oh, wait, I got Instagrams going off. I need to check my DMs there. No, we've got to learn to not be distracted, because listen, when we're distracted, we will miss the voice of the Holy Spirit. I can tell you that when my Nikes got nice and blood soaked, it was because I was distracted. I was rushing. I was trying to get all the kids out of the house. I was trying to get going. Therefore, I really, like, yes, I heard him, but I didn't really listen because I was distracted, right? So we need to live a life where we are just closely tuned in to the Holy Spirit. Anytime we can, we're listening to scriptures. You know, we're listening to worship music, always having an environment around us that is conducive for him to speak to us, right? And you might say, well, that's really hard. You know, I go to school all day long. Well, that's fine. Pray in your head. You know, pray in your head before you sit down at your desk. Say, thank you, Jesus, that I hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, that he leads me and guides me in everything that I do, and that my heart's always listening, right? Because here's the deal. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's not going to yell and scream louder just because your circumstances around you are louder. Nope, he's still going to just be quiet. Because his main way to lead us is still the inward witness, right? He's not going to come with an audible voice just because you're at a football stadium and can't hear anything. Nope, it's still that inward voice. And if we're distracted, we're going to miss it. So, because I'm a children's pastor, I have to have a visual. So this is what we're going to do. John and Truett, come on up. I have to show you what I mean here, okay? John and Truett, come on up. We got some cones that are coming out. Come on up, guys. Oh, I need the blindfold. All right, so Truett is going to be our distracted Christian here. An audience, I need your help. Can you guys help me? Yes. I need to be a little louder. Can you help me?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. So, John, you're going to be the Holy Spirit. You're going to go on the other side of that cone over there. All right, Truett, come here. You're our Christian. Thanks, guys. All right, you are a Christian. And here's what we're going to do. Truett has to make his way to the Holy Spirit. Okay, we're going to pretend that his purpose, his destiny is on the other side, okay? He needs to be able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit so he can make his way through these cones to him. You guys are the distraction. So what I need you guys to do is we're going to spin him around a couple times. We're going to blindfold him. I will make sure he doesn't fall off the stairs or anything, don't worry. And then John, the Holy Spirit, is going to just talk to him in a normal voice, telling him which direction that he needs to go. But in this situation, our Christian here hasn't been spending a lot of time with the Holy Spirit. So he's going to sound a little far away. So when I say go, what I need you guys to do is just yell out directions. Random directions, wrong ones, right ones, doesn't matter. But I need it to be loud because it's got to distract him where he can't hear. So are you guys ready? You going to help me? Okay, let's spin him around a few times. Spin, spin. Keep going. All right.
I'm backwards.
You might be backwards. You have to figure it out. All right. Audience, give him some directions. And then you keep talking. Getting anywhere real quick. What do you think? Was that kind of difficult?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, come back here. Go back to start. You have to start over. All right, Holy Spirit, come over here. So this time, we're going to do it, except now he's not distracted, okay? He's been tuning in to the Word. He's been reading the Word. He's been praying. He's been worshiping. So you guys are going to get loud again, but this time, he has the Holy Spirit right with him, leading him and guiding him. Holy Spirit's not any louder, but he's closer, right? So let's do this again. Ready? Go. You're almost there. Woo! He did it! All right, you can take your blindfold off. Was that a little easier that time? You didn't even know? See, look at that. He didn't even know. That's actually a really good point right there. I'm going to just jump on that. You guys can sit down. Thank you, guys. He didn't even know he made it to his purpose. So let me just camp there for a second. You know, sometimes when we're listening to the voice of God, it doesn't make sense. He said he didn't even know he made it. So sometimes it doesn't make sense what he is telling us, but then all of a sudden you look up, your blindfold comes off, and you're like, oh, I see what you did there, God. This was all part of your plan. And because I was completely tuned into you, wasn't listening to outside voices, and just trusted you, basically put my world blindfold on, just listened to my heart, I made it to my purpose. I fulfilled the plan of God in my life and didn't even really know I was doing it because I was just doing whatever he told me to do. That's good. That wasn't in my notes. You get that for free. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you guys for your help. Thank you, ushers. Appreciate that. All right, so we can't get distracted. right? We got to stay focused. When we were watching the Olympics last week, or a couple weeks ago now, I guess, we were watching the men's 100-meter semifinal run. Now, I know it was the semifinals. However, it's still a race. I mean, it's still the Olympics. I believe everybody wants to do their best, right? But we were watching it, and when we were watching it, Noah Lyles, which is our runner for the United States, was set to win this race, right? Now, this was just the semifinal. But you know what stuck out to me more than anything was the fact that right before he crossed that finish line, he looked to his right. And he looked, and he saw the Jamaican right there, and the Jamaican actually ended up crossing first. Now, I know it was the semifinal. He probably was saving his endurance, you know, for the final. However, when I saw that, I was like, I know it's just a semifinal, but he had it in a bag. If he wouldn't have turned and looked, he probably would have crossed first. Now, I know it was just a semifinal. Maybe he did it on purpose. Maybe he was trying to judge where his competition is. But that's exactly what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to be running our race, doing so well, and then look and see what other people are doing. Oh, well, what are they doing over there? What are they doing over there? And start comparing ourselves to what they're doing. But we got to stay in our lane. We have to stay focused on our race, on what God has called us to do, or we're going to lose, right? Now, we know we win in the end, but we might lose that battle, correct? And I don't know about you, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to miss anything that the Lord wants us to do. We have to remember, we're not running our race. We're not doing this for men, right? We're doing this for God, which is why sometimes doing what the Holy Spirit says is hard, because it can sound crazy. And people might make fun of you. People might call you, you know, scared. They might call you a wimp. Or they might, you know, whatever it might be, kids. I don't know what the slang is for those things these days. It changes frequently. But if we're distracted and we're not doing what the Holy Spirit tells us, there are lives on the other side of your purpose and your calling that might not make it. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to get to heaven and God say, well, you did good. But you know, this part right here, you got really distracted. And there was a bunch of people here I needed you to minister to. And because you didn't listen, I had to send somebody else. I don't want to hear that. How about you guys? I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. You didn't get distracted. You did everything I called you to do, right? I don't want to get off on that and make a mistake. Correct? You know, and I believe too, in these last days, it is more important now than probably any other time for us to be tuned into the Holy Spirit and not be distracted. Because I don't know about you guys, but the way the world's going, it's pretty ugly, right? It's pretty dark. And let me tell you, it's not going to get better. Okay? The closer we get to Jesus coming back, it's only going to get worse. It's only going to get darker. But you know, God promises to take care of his people. Which means we're going to have to be tuned into the Holy Spirit, because I believe there's supernatural favor. There's supernatural provision. Things that are going to come out of us obeying the Holy Spirit in these last days that are not going to make sense in the natural. Because he has promised to take care of us. It's like what Pastor Hagin says all the time. It's the natural and the supernatural coming together that make an explosive force for God, right? So we cannot afford to get distracted. And number four, we have to always check your heart. Always check your heart. Do you have peace? That's what I always tell my kids, is do you have peace? Follow peace, right? You know, when you're trying to make a decision, I go back to Brother Hagin's teaching about red lights and green lights, and I'll tell him, hey, you know what? If you don't feel a certain way about that decision, then take a step and see what happens. See what you feel. My oldest daughter plays in the band. She actually didn't know I was going to say this. Hopefully that's okay. And she is going into ninth grade this year. So she had the opportunity to try out for Broken Arrow's Pride, which is an amazing band program. But it is intense. It is very intense. And I told her, I said, Elena, I'm not going to make the decision for you. Because she kind of wanted me to. You know, she wanted me to tell her, well, what should I do? And I said, nope. I said, I want you to make the decision. I said, I want you to hear from the Holy Spirit. and you make the decision for yourself, because I don't want that, and I want to teach you how to hear. I said, so whichever it be, take a step. You know, take a step on maybe going to the auditions and see how you feel. Well, she didn't have peace about it. So she said no. And she just went back to where she did have peace. And you know what? She's not doing Pride this year, but I have complete peace about it. I believe she made the right decision. So parents, I want to talk to you for just a quick second. It is our job with our preteens and our teens to teach them to hear the Holy Spirit, right? Yes, myself and Pastor Zach do it too, but you're with them a whole lot more than we are. So we need your help, okay? It's your job primarily to teach them to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And here's the deal, your voice is so important, because ultimately at the end of the day, most kids and teens, young, you know, preteens, they're gonna do whatever their parents tell them to do. And I don't know about you, but I don't ever want to put my will on my child. So we need to allow our kids to practice hearing the Holy Spirit for themselves while they're under our roof. Because listen, I would much rather them listen for themselves and maybe even make a mistake, but at least they're under my roof. I can help them, right? I can coach them through it. Because here's the deal. If you put your will on them, they could miss out on God's plan for their life. I know that's hard to hear, because we think in our heart, we want the best for our kids, and we think we know it all, but sometimes we don't. I remember when I was 18, I had just graduated while I was my senior year of high school, and I had planned to go to pharmacy school. Now, this is just my story. I firmly believe in education, but this is just my story. But I had planned to go to pharmacy school, was filling out my application for the University of Oklahoma, and it was almost an audible voice that said, so you're gonna do your will, not mine. And I stopped. I was like, to the point where I actually went to my brother's room and I said, did you just say something to me? And he's looking at me, you know, like annoyed, like a normal little brother would. Like, no, I'm not talking to you. Right? And so I went back to my room and I was like, Lord, was that you? And the same words. So you're going to do your will, not mine. And like any normal type A person, I began to argue with God. And I was like, but Lord, if I go to pharmacy school, you know, I'm going to make great money. I can do all these, you know, I can do missions trips and I can do this and I can do that. He was just silent. I've noticed the Holy Spirit doesn't argue. He says what he says and expects you to obey. And so I was like, well, okay. So I started praying about it. And he led me to come to Rhema. And I was like, but Lord, I really want to go to college. Like, I need to go. You know, I want to do this, I want to do that. Again, just silence. So I was like, okay, well, let's start taking a step. So I started taking the steps at 18. That first step was telling my dad that I wasn't going to go to college, and then I was going to go to Rhema. And I'm not going to lie, I was pretty nervous. Not going to lie. I mean, I knew that my dad always wanted what's best, but I was like, oh man, I pretty much already had my life planned out, and this just made a major pivot in it, right? And I will never forget when I walked into his office, because he worked from home, and I said, so I think I'm supposed to go to Rhema. I don't think I'm supposed to go to college. At least not yet. And I remember he was quiet for a moment, and then he looked at me and he said, well, if that's what you think the Holy Spirit is telling you, who am I to argue? And I remember that was so freeing to know my dad had my back. And in the same token, I knew if it would have been the wrong decision, we would have figured it out, right? It would have been fine. God would have made it all work. But ultimately, because I know me, if I would have gone that route of pharmacy school, I would not be standing here today. And I do not believe that I would have fulfilled God's ultimate plan for my life. I would have been in his permissive will, right? But I would not have been in his perfect will. So that's just my story. So parents, you know, I encourage you. You know, I think about Eli and Samuel in 1 Samuel 3. Most of us, by the third time our kid came to our room, probably would not have responded the way Eli did. You know, Eli, finally it dawned on him, right? And he goes, oh, Samuel, go back to your room. If you hear that again, say, Lord, Your servant is listening. I'm just going to be honest. I feel like most of us parents probably would have been like, oh my goodness, for the love of Pete, go back to bed. Right? Let's just be honest, okay? We don't always have the greatest patience, especially in the middle of the night, okay? And if you say that you do, you're lying. Let's be real. Okay, we're all human here. But I think there's a lot to be learned there because Eli recognized, oh, God's trying to speak to him. So as parents, we need to recognize that the Holy Spirit can and will speak to our children. So allow him to. And allow your kids to listen and obey. Even if you don't know if that's really the right thing. You just pray for them. And if they make the mistake, if it's a mistake, if it wasn't this perfect will, guess what? You're never too far gone, right? God can fix it. He can make it better. So I just want to, in closing, remind you. Spend time with him. Get to know him. Practice hearing his voice, right? Always check your heart. Don't be distracted. And lastly, just listen and obey the first time. I know that wasn't the order that I did them in, but I wanted to end with obey the first time. Because obeying the first time is ultimately how we're going to learn, right? And it's going to save us a whole lot of trouble if we just obey the first time, right? So I want to encourage you, kids, as you get ready to go back to school, you know, leave some room for God to talk to you. Maybe if you have to ride the bus on the way to school, just get quiet for a few minutes and go, okay, Lord, whatever you want me to do today. If there's someone I need to talk to, if there's someone I just need to smile at, a smile can go a long ways, right? If there's someone I need to pray for, if there's something I need to not do or need to do, show me. Give the Lord opportunities to work in your life. But you're going to have to listen. You know, bring your notebook to school if you have to. Write things down. Listen to him. Give him opportunity to speak to you. And I promise you, he will speak to you. And it'll become so easy that it's like listening to your parents' voice. You'll be able to recognize it every time, the first time. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for today and the words that went forth. Lord, I pray that you help us all to just stay hooked up. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us sensitive to your leadings and your promptings, Father God. I just thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit, Lord, for the amazing gift that he is to us, helping us in each and everything that we do. And we just praise you for it. And while we're praying, if maybe you're sitting here and you say, I don't know the Holy Spirit. I can't know the Holy Spirit because I've never asked Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of my life. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand. We're going to take care of that today. If you've never accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life, or maybe you have accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life, but you've kind of been living your own way, and you need to come back to him. You need to rededicate your life to him. Just raise your hand. Or lastly, can't ever talk about the Holy Spirit without offering the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues. So if that's you as well and you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues, just raise your hand. Ushers, help me out. I don't see any hands. Is that correct? We're all family here? I think so. Well, hallelujah. That sounds like we need to get better at inviting some people into church, guys. That's what I always tell my kids. We gotta get the lost in here too, right? We gotta get on our mission. Well, thank you all so much for being so attentive this morning. I get the distinct honor now of welcoming Pastor Hagen to the stage to pray over the kids. Such a fun Sunday morning. Yes, give him a round. He's round of applause. He is amazing.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
All right. Thank you, Pastor.
Great job. Bless you. Hallelujah. You know, Zach was up here first, and now Angela, they're staff pastors, but their main portfolio is children's ministry pastor, and Zach is the youth pastor. I think our young people and our kids at Rhema are in good hands, don't you? Somebody said, well, you know, you're the first pastor I've ever seen had his let his children's pastor speak in the Sunday morning service. I said, well, why not? They're ministers too. Why can't they speak to the adults? Amen. You know, as we all get busy, she helped remind me today that, hey, sometimes I need to slow down a little bit. Anybody else did anybody? She reminded me, oh, I got a lot of help. Hallelujah. All right. I want all of my first grade through 12th grade. Kindergarten. All right. Kindergarten through the 12th grade. I want all of you to come down here. I want you to see this is our church of tomorrow. Hallelujah. We have a great youth program and a great children's program at Rhema Bible Church. When I started this church in October of 1985, I said, we will have a great children's program, a great youth program, and a great music program, and we've got all three of them here. And I thank God for that, but it's not all me. It's you and all of the staff, the church staff. You know, I had them up here a while back and introduced all of them as this is our church, this is our pastoral staff. So many times they want to relegate people to certain, we all have different positions and different ministries that we handle, but we're all pastoral. We're all part of the pastor's staff. Hallelujah. I'm waiting for those that were up in stairs to get down, and they're doing a good job of getting down here. Praise the Lord. Y'all want to stand in the audience? You can go ahead and stand up while we wait for the rest of our kids to get here. Because I'm going to ask you to reach your hands out toward them and pray as I pray. If some of you music people are students, y'all might want to step down there for a minute. I know you are. I know some of you have already stepped over into the other area, youth part. Hallelujah. Isn't this a great group of kids? Give them a big, big hand. You reach your hands out toward them as I pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these young people. I thank you as they embark on another year of their life at school. I thank you that you'd give them favor in everything they do. Bring to their remembrance the things that they studied that they need to know. I thank you that you will lead them and guide them. I thank you, Father, that they will learn to listen to your voice. I thank you, Father, for protection for all of them. Many of them are involved in sports. I pray, Father, that I'd be protection over them from injury. Those that are involved in music, I thank you, Father, you give them favor and give them knowledge of what they need to know in order to be the best. Whatever any of them attempt to do this year, I pray, Father, that you would give them the understanding, the knowledge, and the favor to excel in everything that they do. But most of all, Father, I pray that they would excel in the spiritual part of their life. As they enjoy the natural life, I pray, Father, that you would help them to understand the importance of the spiritual life. And I thank you that they will bring the spiritual life and the natural life together and become a great force for you in all that they do. We thank you now that they are protected. You will lead, guide, guard, and direct them. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you, kids. You can return to your seats now. Thank you so much. While they're returning to their seats, we don't forget, tonight is a special night. Now, from my understanding, that we've done this with Arrowhead before many years ago now. But from my understanding, if I'm correct, Angela, there is more kids in this school that their parents are struggling than any other school, elementary school in Broken Arrow. And they're right over here, and they're right not too far away from us, just a few blocks over here. And you know, that's part of what a church is supposed to do. They're supposed to be the light in the community. And how better to show than to reach out and help somebody? You know, it's great to pray for somebody, but when you can actually give them something of substance, it speaks volumes. So come on out tonight. And then besides that, this is a great time for us to have some fellowship with one another. Get your bulletin, look there and see what you need, and go by Walmart or wherever and pick up some of those school supplies and come on out with us. All right? Today, before we go, we have a special thing that we need to do. We need to pray for a young lady that has cancer. They've asked to come. I dedicated her and her twin brother on this stage 26 years ago. But now the enemy has attacked her, and the family has asked that we pray. Michelle, if you would come, please. Congregation, this young lady needs us to stand with her in faith. But I believe. Yes, all right. She's been declared cancer free, but almost. But we need completeness and wholeness. Yes. Heavenly Father, I thank you now that this body is free of any cancer cells. Yes. Any cells that are left in this body, I thank you they will die.
Yes.
And dissipate. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for completeness and wholeness in Jesus' name. And cancer, you cannot return to this body. You leave this body now forever in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Put your hands up and thank God. Bless you. Praise the Lord. Thank God, thank God. Well, if you're a first-time guest with us today, we're glad to have you. Today was a little different, but you never know what's going to happen around here. Hello. We have so many good... somebody said, y'all be seated. Y'all don't have very many visiting speakers. I said, well, on my staff, I got every ministry gift that there is, so thank God for it. Staff, y'all can go to the doors so we can shake your hands. If you're a first-time guest, Connection team, go find those first-time guests and take them to the lobby so that we can give you a special gift for you. And what do we say to these first-time guests? Welcome home. Just come on and join us and be a part of the Rhema family. We have a great time bringing hope, help, and healing to the world around us. That's where we're going to be today. If you want to shake any of our hands, I make the staff go to each lobby. We rotate. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is good. Amen. Don't forget tonight. All right. They're going to sing the song and you're dismissed. We'll see you tonight. Praise the Lord. Lord bless.